Welcome to the 28th episode of A Change is a Chance. My name is Ryan Lowe, and it is my goal to educate listeners, especially young ones, on the issues in this world by interviewing different experts who can lead us into the charge for change. So today, we have a very special panel interviewing, starring many different roles of the Global Youth Mentorship Program, or the GYM program of the organization Plastic Tides. In episode 12 here, I talked with Mr. Christian Shaw, the co-founder of Plastic Tides, where he explained to me how the GYM program inspires youth to take a stand against the plastic problem. Mr. Shaw had so much faith in me and this entire generation, and as he has to countless others, he's helped to inspire me and aid me in my fight against the plastic problem. Because of that, I decided to become a GYM youth leader myself. And as one, I have been working to educate our youth on the GYM program, plastic problem, and show them that they can be leaders too. And today, here to help me with that, we have three incredible guests. So first up is Ella Katzner, a current youth leader at the GYM program. So Ella, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a part of this year's cohort, and my project is focused on reducing plastic utensil usage. And with that, I have started a plastic art club in my school, just making art out of the plastic that people throw away. And that has been really fun, and I've gotten people in the community involved. And yeah,
that's really cool. Merging just like a school subject with plastic, just a perfect way to bring it into the education side of things. Next up, we have Lawrence Mayaki Akinpelu, who is a current youth mentor at the GYM program. Lawrence, could you please tell us a little bit about your plastic journey?
Hi, everyone. My name is Lawrence Mayaki. I've been educating a youth on sustainability for the past 20 years. And what I do mostly is I believe the basic tool to make change is education. So I've been trying to teach youth to choose alternative ways of using facilities as sustainable ways of using facilities within the environment. In Africa, as you know, basically the people in Africa is not that they are doing some of these activities. It's not intentional. It's they lack basic knowledge of the effects of those practices. So what I do is I engage mostly youth and women to ensure that they engage on sustainable means of living. Basically, plastic waste in Africa is a very serious problem. We've been trying to encourage people to ensure that they do recycling. We can't phase it out completely, but we promote recycling. We use some of this plastic waste we've been doing. So I've achieved a lot in Nigeria, and presently I'm drifting to places like Niger, Chad, Benin Republic, so mostly in rural areas. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's really cool. Perfect fit for the GYM program. And last but not least, we have JD Whitman, who is the GYM program director. So JD, could you please tell us about what you've been doing?
Hi. Yeah, thank you so much for inviting us to come here and talk together. This is great. So I'm JD Whitman, and I've been the GYM program director since March 2020. So I started right in the middle of COVID. And outside of Plastic Tides, I am a sci-art expert and researcher. So I work with scientists to translate their research to the public through large-scale installation artworks. And currently, well, my work has always dealt with marine plastic and educating youth about marine plastic and marine plastic pollution in a way that doesn't provoke negative ecological emotions. And the work that I'm doing right now is I'm working with researchers in the EU who are studying plastic contaminants for policy. So we're looking at nanoplastics and microplastics and how they're affecting public health.
That's really cool. So both you and Ella are doing art and plastic. Okay, so I'm gonna say this now. Everyone can chime in with these questions at any point. So let's get started. First question, what inspired you to get involved in the gym program specifically, and then also the fight against plastic pollution?
I can go first. So I actually had a friend who was in one of the previous cohorts. Her name is Harper, and she had a similar project trying to battle the indifference in her community and educate her community about plastic pollution. And so I've always been interested in plastic pollution. Like when I was even younger, my dad used to have us go around our yard in our road with trash bags and pick up any plastic or litter that we saw. And so I think that love for the environment and love of advocating against plastic pollution has come from my family and those around me. And Harper actually showed me this program and I thought it was a perfect fit. And so I applied and I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Anyone else?
Yeah, what really attracted me into plastic tires was that when I discovered that although I had interest in anything concerning youth, so I discovered that plastic tires was basically a kind of channel to educate youth on plastic and so on. So, well, I was not having much knowledge on plastic waste, but eventually JD Whiteman was a person that I was motivated by her into getting more involved in plastic, and definitely I'm doing quite well in it in Africa. And like one of my youth leaders, Ryan, so he did quite well. I mentored him quite well that he's doing basically well presently. So that's it.
Yeah, go JD for recruiting Lawrence.
Yes, recruiting all of the wonderful people into the program. So I grew up in the water, just in the ocean, and as soon as I could, I was scuba diving, probably sooner than what you're allowed to start scuba diving. And in 2010, I noticed a major decline in ocean health, and there was plastic everywhere. And I started noticing the effects that it was having on ocean life. And I tried talking to people about it, and nobody seemed to care, or people just they accepted it for what it was. And so since that point, I've been trying to figure out ways to bring the ocean to people so that they can experience what I've experienced being in the water and seeing the plastic pollution and how it injures life there. And it's been difficult. I actually joined Plastic Tides because in my investigation of trying to bring these images to people, I noticed that there is a severe failure of environmental education in primary and secondary schools in the United States. And the gym program was trying to bring education and educational resources to those age groups. So I joined in because it was specifically marine plastic that we were educating on through the gym program. And I just thought it was an excellent place to start to try to improve environmental education in the States. But then, added bonus, it's a global program. So what I thought was just a problem in the United States is a problem everywhere. So this program, I've been here now for over 3 years because it is bringing people like all of you here together to work on the problem.
Yeah, that's a cool origin story. Yeah, I mean, to me, just having all of you guys here, it's really cool because it's our environment. We have moral obligation to do something about it, and not everyone knows that. And all of us here, we're trying to spread that to everyone. That's really great. So, can you all tell us about a specific aspect of some gym-related project that you've worked on that you are particularly proud of, and why?
So, in my work to reduce plastic utensil usage. I have two specific examples of people that have made the switch to reusable utensils. And it's super difficult changing behaviors, especially like in the middle of the school year when I started implementing the practices, people had already started their habits. And my project didn't go completely the way I'd hoped. People started using plastic utensils as the school year went on because people started using like school lunches rather than bringing lunches from home. And obviously people use plastic for school lunches more often. But there were two people, one of my friends, Anna, and one of my school principals, Mr. Tomchek, I'm just going to name drop. They both started using reusable utensils and they were so proud to show me what they'd done. And it was cool because we had that feeling of like both making a change in each other's lives. And that was a big motivation to keep going.
Yeah, that's the true purpose of activism right there.
Okay, as for me, what I've been doing, I've been trying to educate people because I discovered that right here, most people are not aware of the effects of using plastic materials. So I tend to educate them on the effect of dumping or using plastics. Because when I hear most people, the plastics are majorly used and dumped, and they don't know where the plastic are going to land. So what we do is I try to educate them on the effects of misusing plastics. Then secondly, I try to introduce water stations, because here the kind of plastics you have mostly are water bottles. So I try to introduce water stations to schools, market areas, major area where they use some of these things. If I go to offices sometimes, I try to educate organizations, like most of the public offices in Nigeria, I've educated them on using alternative means instead of using plastic. So I even try to partner with other organizations to introduce plastic waste, water stations in offices and schools like that. So basically what I do mostly is education. And I've realized that most people don't recognize the effects of plastics. So the moment you tell them, they change subsequently. So severally, the education has worked and has changed a lot of things. So people have been trying to use other alternative and sustainable means. So that's it.
Nice. It's great that you got involved in, you know, education, as you said, but then also implementing water stations to help a community. It's great to be in different parts of the plastic problem.
And I don't have one. There's too many things that I'm proud of about the program to mention one. But I'm extremely proud of the program, the Plastic Tides team for running the program, and every single youth leader and mentor that has come through the program. I am constantly blown away by the youth leaders because they have so much drive, so much passion, and just an incredible amount of innovation for the problems that they're seeing. I'm learning from them, and the mentors are learning from them. And it gives hope to this very dire situation that we find ourselves in. And then additionally, every single mentor that has come through the program has been wonderful and has helped elevate these kids' confidence in completing their projects and basically their drive to continue in the environmental field. And it's just incredible to me that every single mentor is volunteering their time when they're very busy professionals out in the environmental industry. They're dedicating like hard-earned time off to help the next generation so that they can fight and continue to protect the environment. And it's just, yeah, it gives us hope.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's pretty amazing what you guys have built here.
Thanks.
Okay. So How do you guys think that young people can be effective in raising awareness about the plastic problem and promoting sustainable solutions?
Well, young people are the next generation and will be stepping into public offices soon. I mean, I think 18 is the youngest that you can start getting into stuff like school boards and stuff like that. And I think that kids are more likely to follow a trend if kids around them are doing that. So starting a trend to be eco-conscious and environmentally friendly is one way that kids can make a big difference. And also schools are really important because they provide a community of people that is pretty easy to reach out to. Like for adults, you have work and you're kind of doing your own thing a lot, but schools, there's really that feeling of community and a lot more of a chance to find people with similar interests.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe that what I always tell my students is that our parents have disappointed them. We, our own generation, has disappointed them. So they should try to design a sustainable future for themselves. The youth, I know they are creative, very innovative, very inquisitive. So I know they can design a sustainable future for themselves. So I have confidence in them. So that's why I ensure I mentor those that I need to mentor. I guide those I need to guide. So I think the youth are in a better place to ensure a sustainable future. And definitely, if you put them right, they are going to do it. And they are, of course, doing it presently. That's it.
Yeah.
And I, jumping kind of off of what Ella said, the problem is very political, of course. So we've created the gym program to be community specific. So every single youth leader is to work in their community because that's the best possible way to eventually tap into any type of political feature. So kids or youth leaders, students should be starting at their community center, whether that's school, whether that's their cul-de-sac in their town, whether it's their family and friends. Like, they need to start where they already have a community built up. And by making a positive impact there, you're going to change the behavioral efforts of the people you're impacting, and they're going to start reaching out to their circles. And then those circles are going to reach out to those circles. And soon the youth leaders will have this group of people who are rallying for the same thing. And eventually that group gets big enough so that you can take on different political issues, like in their specific community. And of course, it's different state by state in the US and then country by country worldwide. County by county even. So starting as small as possible within your own community cohort is the way that youth leaders can make effective change.
Yeah. And in any scale project from community to the world, we the youth, we're underestimated by the larger generations. And just, you know, getting out there and showing that not only do we have the ability to think for ourselves, but that we acknowledge that this is our future you're messing with. Like, that's just really important as a youth and as a person. So what are some challenges that you guys have faced in your work to address plastic pollution, and how have you overcome them?
So I had to talk with the nutrition services manager at my school, talking about the plastic utensil usage. And I think we came to the conclusion that like 3,200 utensils were used a week in the school. And one of the first things that he said when we met was that he wasn't going to change to like the compostable or recycled or like wooden utensils. Or he wouldn't change to like reusable that you would wash. So that was kind of a challenge at first, because he said it was all about the money, which you have to figure that out, especially when I live in such a like rural countryside community. So that was difficult. And really changing behaviors was a big part of my project. And that is a very difficult thing to do, especially, like I said, implementing my project kind of like in the middle of the school year. So the way that I'm overcoming that is focusing on smaller kind of chunks and demographics of people rather than the entire community. Like how JD was saying, you got to start small to make a bigger difference. And even though my project is going to end like technically with the end of the school year, I have learned things that will be able to continue the ideas of this project throughout. And so just implementing this has really given me a chance to find better ways to make change.
Yeah. Let's just go back. The nutrition person literally said, it's about the money. We're not going to switch. Wow.
Yes. I have faced that difference. Or I faced that challenge quite a lot. Like, but I had been trying to get in electric hand dryers, and they said it was about the money then too, even though I was showing them there would be like a return on investment. They were like, we're focused on the money now, which shows they aren't really concerned about the future. But yeah, that's a big challenge that I've had to face.
Good work with that.
Yeah, okay. The major problem I encountered in my plastic project is government policy and bottlenecks. I got several projects to implement, but the government is so slow in approving those projects. It's a very serious issue here. I have tried several means. I've arranged protests, campaign, and so on, but the bottleneck delays. Sometimes you discover there are critical issues that you need to attend to within the shortest possible period, but the issue is that you must seek approval from government before doing anything. And if you, and before you do it, they must approve it. So the issue of government policy and bottlenecks are always very critical issues. I also have the mentor, that's the GIM youth leader. He had been trying to install plastic wood and water station in a particular school. For the past 3 months, or for more than 4 months, he had been trying to seek for approval, but that was in California. Has not worked. So most of this issue are the issues we encounter in implementing plastic solution projects. So I think I don't know what to do about it. Government. So that's just it. It's a very serious issue.
Yeah, apathy and ignorance, kind of the enemies of really everything.
Yeah. I have something that I would also like to add on to that. Yeah, the ignorance in the government. The government sometimes, in my state at least, provides grants for the bigger city schools, but I live in, a very small community, kind of in the countryside, where people like to stick to the way that everything has been. And so some of the bigger schools kind of around me have gotten grants to like get water stations, to get electric hand dryers, but then the smaller schools just don't get anything because they're seen as less important.
Yeah, now we're going into the issues of environmental justice.
So I come up against three major problems consistently. The first one is people saying that they have no ties to plastic pollution, or further, that their actions where they live do not affect or pollute the ocean. So people are very self-centered. So when you're doing educational campaigns or you're trying to transfer scientific information about the plastic crisis, it's very important to tailor that transfer of knowledge in a way that makes it about the audience that you're transferring it to, unfortunately. So You have to make it about the people, or they just don't care. Of course, there are people like us in this group here who do care, but there's the vast majority of the public are, as we've already discussed, ignorant and just apathetic. The second problem is a little bit related, but when you are talking to people about plastic pollution, because it is such a large scale problem, a lot of the times it can be overwhelming. And people can get ecophobia or climate anxiety or eco-anxiety, and they can shut down or they can become desensitized to the problem. And that's not what you want. You want people to recognize the problem, and you want them to be in a positive state of mind so that they can learn about it and so that they can take it a step further and they can act upon it and create change within their community. So figuring out, again, how to transfer knowledge on such a large problem in a way that people who are hearing it leave in a positive manner is critical. And then the third thing, we've touched on this a little bit also, is that individuals, organizations, companies that I have worked with and will be working with, a lot of them try to monetize the problem. So unless it can make money, people are not interested in solving the problem. So that becomes really difficult for people who are trying to solve the problem, because you have to haggle with groups and you can't go against, and you can't join in on a project that's going to monetize plastic pollution, because often it'll come with its own disastrous side effects. Yeah. And it probably won't fix the problem. So that is a very big problem that I deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah. And what I realized from all of your answers, human psychology is weird. We fear the unknown, but we don't want to learn more. We're apparently selfish, and we love money. Yeah. So how has working with Plastic Tides and Jim inspired you? And what do you think can be done to move forward and inspire even more people?
So working with this program has given me a lot of ideas of what more I can do. Like, obviously I'm focusing on just one project at the moment, but it has given me a chance to think about a lot of other ways I can make change regarding plastic pollution in my community. One example is, so there's like a football field and track area at my school. Obviously it gets super polluted whenever there's events held there. And I think it's disgusting because no one ever really cleans up their trash. And so my project was actually originally going to be focused on that until they tore the football stadium down and started rebuilding. So that was one obstacle that got in the way. But now it's a fresh start, kind of. So instead of letting all that plastic accumulate, I'm sure you guys have seen maybe bleachers and there's just plastic behind them, but I want to start having the teams that use that area clean up, maybe like once a month or twice a month, have a time that counts as a volunteer hours and that goes into practice time to clean up areas, just to like appreciate, show appreciation for their fans and the stadium that they live in. And that is another way that I could get more people involved with it. And Plastic Tides has really supported me in my ideas. And hopefully I can get more people to join, especially because I'm doing, we have an environmental group at my school, and I've really tried to hype up this program for them. And I feel that a lot of people might apply to it.
That's great. Yeah, that's a nice step forward.
And I also think that instead of having just this educational group that the GYM, I think it would be also good if you have maybe kind of a community organization. Like Plastic Tides have like clubs in every community. In each community, there should be a group of youths coming together in the name of Plastic Tides, with the focus of working on plastic waste management and so on. in every community at least. I think that will go a length in getting more people involved into plastic waste management. So I think that should really work. And if you have where you have youth coming together, discussing about it, sharing ideas, bringing innovations to solutions and so on, it will really work instead of just we having this platform alone. So I think that's it, that should be a way forward. So that's it.
Yeah, I mean, we should definitely ask you, JD, more about this. That seems like a reasonable goal for Plastic Ties, or the gym program, I mean.
It would definitely be a long-term goal, absolutely. So, of course, it depends on how many funding for our organization and how many people we can have so that we can oversee it. But we would like to offer the program to as many people as possible in every single corner of the world. So we've seen it be successful for 3 years now in 42 different countries. So it is definitely something that could happen on a large scale, like you said. So hopefully one day. And then so the plastic pollution crisis, in order to be resolved, needs innovation, motivation, and momentum. And what I've learned is that all three of those things exist in the youth leaders that have come through this program and the projects that they have created. And I have seen that it actually exists there more so than anywhere else, because kids are not yet tied down by politics. So they have a little leeway to get things going. So because of that, I've kind of changed what I do in my career, and I will definitely be tailoring my research more towards youth education. So.
Yeah, it goes back to what we were saying earlier, how, you know, youth is the future, and I think it's great that the gym program tackles that, and definitely a great step for, you know, educators and people to focus on that. Okay, so looking forward, what are some goals that you have for yourself and your journey in the fight against plastic pollution? And I know, like, all you guys talked a little bit about that in the previous question.
Well, I want to make a lasting change in my community that will continue even after I am graduated. So, like, with the practices that I have started, like with the reducing plastic utensil usage, I hope to continue that project and have that continue and hopefully see a reduction as the years go on. And with the pollution at the track field and the football field, I want to see that be reduced and seeing, like, maybe coming back a few years later and seeing all the changes that have happened. With me as like a catalyst and other people in the community getting excited to make a change is something that I hope to see in the future.
Yeah, a domino effect.
Okay, I hope to see a zero plastic environment. It may or it could be possible or it will be possible. In the sense that everyone wants a good life. Everybody wants a good life. And if there's anything that could infringe that, they will definitely work against it. So what I've been doing, I've been trying to educate people on the importance of avoiding plastics. So, and it's really working. And in the plastic waste management, in some communities, most especially the rural communities, we are almost going zero plastic because of education, the education and awareness we've been providing. So I definitely, through proper education, we're going to find a way out. Nobody wants a bad life for himself. Everyone wants a good living. So what I always say is that most people are ignorant of the implications of plastic waste. So the moment you educate them on the implication or the negative effects, definitely they'll drift from using such things. So we will continue to work, we continue to educate people till we have a zero plastic waste. Thank you.
Yeah, let's all have hope for that.
Yeah, similar. So I just want to educate as many people as possible and to hopefully allow all age groups to feel that they have agency and that they can make changes in their own lives, and then also, again, help other people in their communities to make change.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So just the last question here is, do any of you have any questions for anyone else?
How old were you guys when, or about what age were you when you noticed something about, or that you wanted to make a change in the world and your environment? And how old were you when you noticed that the plastic pollution that you were seeing was not a good thing?
Yes, so I can say there's no specific age. Every child, even a child of 9, 10, 11 years is aware of the implication of plastics. So I've gotten some of my nephews that came to me, uncle, you've been working about against plastic. It's good. This is what they tell you, the implications and so on. So I feel there's no particular age, as long as the child is informed and is educated. So there's no particular age for it. So at any time we can start to advocate. So it depends how powerful that child is, because I have seen children of about 8 years passionately fighting against the use of plastic. So I don't think there's any particular, although till when they are aware, that's just it on front. Thank you.
So my parents are wonderful. They got me and my siblings involved in environmental advocacy work when we were from my earliest memory. We're always outside, and when we went anywhere, we were always volunteering with groups. So I've always been active in that. But with plastic specifically, I already said earlier, there's a specific day, specific time, specific place where I noticed the plastic pollution. And I believe I was 20 at the time. But yeah, it was like boom in the face, and it was just there. And then I've been tackling it ever since. I have a question for the youth leaders. So first, Ella, has taking part in this program changed what you think you might do or what you might study when you move forward and attend college?
So I know that what I want to do in the future is helping people with their health. And through this program, I have become a lot more interested in the ways that environment affects like physical health. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, one of the key factors in a college that I want to go to is it has to be like one of those environmentally friendly and beautiful campus colleges. Specifically, there's one I like, a Swarthmore College. Beautiful, and they're very focused on like sustainability, and I can see myself working with the learning about the effects of microplastics in the human body, but that is something that I wasn't really aware of before this program. And like looking at all the information, especially the Plastic Tides Instagram page, I always look at that, and it has helped develop my interest in the ways that it affects not only the environment, but people as well.
That's wonderful to hear. That's an excellent outcome to your participation in the program. It's awesome. And then Ryan, since we are on your podcast, I was wondering if or I guess how your podcast episodes have made an effect on extended communities where it's listened to. Have you had any feedback from listeners? Has one like podcast episode led into another episode? Have you met people through it?
Well, for me, all these episodes are just, you know, a great way to spread awareness and education. And I feel like it's a big part of, you know, activism and such. But just, I'm not like popular enough to get, you know, recognized on the street or anything. So I haven't had any like experiences in that regard. I mean, surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, I have like 5 reviews on Spotify or something. So
that's not nothing.
Yeah, I like to think that the 11% of my viewers who are youth, our listeners who are youth, are learning something the way I am and just taking that into account when it's just like we were talking about earlier, domino, the butterfly effect, just having me having the ability to learn something from someone, spreading that to people who listen, having them spread it farther, and then leaving it to their interpretation on how they want to do something about it.
Yeah. I'm not sure how you end your podcast, but maybe that's something you could add into your gym project. So at the end of every episode, you could do a call to action, or you could ask people to write in and if they had any questions about what they heard on the episode, or just a way to get people more involved or to learn more.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Okay. Well, I mean, that's all I had, all the questions I had for you guys today. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was a wonderful experience.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for coming here. I mean, I've already learned so much from just talking to you, and I'm sure that so will my listeners and other people. Yeah, so
awesome.
Thank you so much for talking with me today, and I hope to hear more about all your projects in the future.
Thank you.
That's it for the 28th episode of A Change is a Chance. If you have any questions or a suggestion, please email me on achangeofthechance.com. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next episode. Bye!